بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله، الحمد لله، نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له، ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله، ونشهد أن سيدنا وحبيبنا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله. أما بعد، respected elders and dear brothers, not too long ago we were making the dua اللهم سلمني لرمضان وسلم رمضان لي وسلم لي متقبلا. Not too long ago we were making the dua اللهم بارك لنا في رجب وشعبان وبلغنا رمضان. And time has passed by so quickly. It's as if we have blinked. And from one hilal to a next hilal. Here we are in the last Jumu'ah of this blessed day of Ramadan. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to accept from us whatever fasts we have observed, whatever taraweeh we have offered, whatever charities we have discharged, whatever tilawah of the Quran we have completed, to accept all these deeds from us, to answer every dua that we have made, and to allow us to experience Laylatul Qadr if we have not already experienced it, and to give us the strength and the ability, the energy to maximize on the benefits of what remains of this month of Ramadan. And we plead to Allah to allow us to witness many more such months. We have witnessed globally, Muslims around the world, throughout the month of Ramadan, they had given priority to one thing, and one thing only. And that is their relationship with Allah. Allah gave us this opportunity, the month of Ramadan, so that we can develop that relationship if it never existed. And if it did exist, Allah gave us the opportunity to enhance the relationship between ourselves and Allah. And alhamdulillah, to a great extent, we have seen, it was quite visible, quite apparent, we have witnessed that Muslims were driven by their love for Allah Azza wa Jalla. Why have you fasted? Why did you turn to the Quran? What was the motivating factor behind that? In any relationship, what is the motivating factor behind your loyalty to your wife? What is the motivating factor behind the regard you have for the parents? What is the motivating factor behind the sacrifices you made for your child? There's something that drives you. It is love. Similarly, in the month of Ramadan, we were driven to the masjid. We were driven to fast. We abstained from things that are basic requirements and necessities in life. We have been extra careful. We have been on guard. Why? Because we were driven by our love for Allah Azza wa Jal, to please Allah. There were times and there were moments where we could have violated the commandments of Allah. We could have invalidated the fast. We could have committed an act of disobedience that we would normally commit outside the month of Ramadan. There was no one watching us. We had the opportunity to do it. It was there. But it was your consciousness, taqwa. That fear, that consciousness which stems from the love that you have for Allah Azza wa Jal, that allowed you not to do anything that will displease Allah. Now, the secret and the most fundamental element to the success of any relationship is the quality of consistency. If the husband expresses love to his wife only for 1 month during the year, what will be the level of her respect? What will be the level of the affection that she shows? What will be the level of her commitment to the relationship? When it comes to your employee, your staff members, your worker, the one who is most appreciated and the one whose services are most welcomed, is that member, that staff member, or that person who shows consistency in the services. We all love consistency in a relationship, and really it is the secret and the fundamental element to the success of any relationship. You want to enjoy success in any relationship, whether it is between you and your child, between the child and the parent, between you and your spouse, the wife and the husband, the employee and the employer, exhibit and display consistency in your services that you render. That is appreciated. It adds value to the service that you offer. The same applies with our relationship with Allah. Allah has given us this opportunity, the month of Ramadan, to prove to us who we can become and who we can be. Allah has shown you the person you are. This is a true reflection of who you are. Allah has given you the opportunity to realize that. That, oh my slave, this is who you can become. You can go to the masjid outside the month of Ramadan, as you went to the masjid during the month of Ramadan. You can exercise restraint. You can stay away from acts of disobedience. There's a struggle involved, of course, like everything else in life. It's referred to as mujahada. There's two things that we need to now focus on as we approach the end of Ramadan. One is istiqama, consistency, steadfastness, perseverance. The second is mujahada, to struggle. وَالَّذِينَ جَاهَدُوا فِينَا لَنَهْدِيَنَّهُمْ سُبُولَنَا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, those who exercise mujahada. Mujahada is to put pressure on your desire, put pressure on your nafs. You did it throughout the month of Ramadan. Mujahada, it's difficult. It is difficult. But take the example of a person who now decides that he wants to get involved in some running, some exercise. He feels it's time that every morning I hit a jog or I go for an exercise. So he sets a target for himself, target of 2 kilometers or 4 kilometers. Ask him if he enjoys the first day of running. Before he gets to the end, before he reaches the destination, before he reaches his mark, he perhaps already takes the decision while running, I'm not doing this tomorrow morning. It's not for me. You see that? When you put pressure, but you push, and you push, and you push, and you keep on running, and you have the destination in front of you, and you know what it is that you want to achieve and what it is that you want to acquire, that pressure that you are placing on your nafs, the inner self that's telling you, I can't do it, I just can't do it, that pressure that you're putting, you're just blocking your ears to that demand of the nafs. That's mujahada, the pressure that you put on the inner demand of the nafs. That's called mujahada. So you apply the pressure. Second day again, he says, I'm doing it. And he goes for his morning run. Still difficult. It is difficult. He doesn't like it, in fact. He dislikes it. When he thinks about it, it's, man, I don't want to do it the next day. But the next day he does it, and it's still difficult. It's not easy. Mujahada is not easy. It's not easy. Nobody said it's easy. But he keeps on doing it. 2 weeks, and consistently he's doing it. He meets his target. Every 2 weeks, it gets lesser. It gets lighter. 2 weeks go by, a month goes by, 2 months goes by, and guess what? And now he loves it. Now he loves it. That very same act and that exercise that he had subjected himself to with much difficulty in the beginning, because he exercised mujahada with consistency. Two things. Again, mujahada, the struggle, the pressure that you got to place on your inner demand, but with consistency. Eventually what happens? You fall in love with what it is you were aspiring to achieve. Now your day can't go by without running. And if now somebody had to tell him, hey man, don't you find it difficult running every morning? He says, I love running. The same thing with Ramadan. We experienced mujahada. We exercised mujahada in Ramadan. It wasn't easy. It was difficult. For every one of us, it wasn't easy. But that mujahada, don't confine it to Ramadan. It gets easier. It gets better until you fall in love with it. You'll want to do it. You look forward to it. Every morning he looks forward to his morning run. He can't wait to get up in the morning and hit the road. You look forward to opening the Quran. But you have to go through mujahada. He went through that phase of hating the exercise and struggling. You have to go through the phase of mujahada that you might even dislike it initially. That deed, that act to get up in the morning, you'll dislike it initially. You will. Human nature. To take out time for tilawah of the Quran. Initially you won't like it. It's going to go against the demand of your nafs, your inner self. But do it with consistency, istiqamah. And soon you'll love it. And once you fall in love with it, now you say, okay, I need to up my game. My target was 2 kilometers. Now I up it 4 kilometers. And this is how you become and you then develop these attributes and qualities along the way until you become a beloved in the sight of Allah. You become amongst the muttaqeen, the objective and the purpose of our life. One of the attributes of the muttaqeen, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, there's an ayah of the Quran when Allah speaks of certain attributes of the muttaqeen. What was Ramadan all about? What was Ramadan all about? We spoke about this in my first pre-khutbah talk, that we are going through a development program, an upskilling program, right? If any of us, we have enrolled in a development program, we know what happens in the development program or the upskilling program. Towards the end of the program, there's an assessment. Where was the development? What skill did I develop? What development took place? We got to be asking ourselves that question now as we come to the end of Ramadan. Where did the development take place? So it's all about development. Development, that's an exercise in the process that we have experienced. And whatever you develop is not confined to that period of the development program. That's not the objective. The objective is what? It remains with you. Right? It's like a boot camp, an annual boot camp. So Ramadan was all about striving and working hard to reach the ranks of the muttaqeen. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says about the muttaqeen, there are certain attributes. الَّذِينَ يُنْفِقُونَ فِي السَّرَّاءِ وَالضَّرَّاءِ. I will not mention them all. وَالْكَاظِمِينَ الْغَيْظِ وَالْعَافِينَ عَنِ النَّاسِ وَاللَّهُ يُحِبُّ الْمُحْسِنِينَ. This is what I would like to just touch on a bit. Allah says, Allah loves al-muhsineen, al-muhsineen, those who strive for excellence. They strive for ihsan. What's ihsan? Excellence. You are never satisfied with your level of spirituality. You are never satisfied with the state of your salah. You are never satisfied with the state of tilawah. That's a believer. You are never satisfied with your spiritual state. The state you are on, you're never satisfied with it. You are always aspiring and striving for excellence. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, Sallu kama ra'aytumuni usalli. Read your salah exactly as I have performed my salah. Which means what? Throughout your life you are going to, that's your target. Throughout your life. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used salah as an example, but it applies to every every department of our lives. Every department of our lives. So we continuously striving for excellence. Ihsan. Allah loves al-muhsinin. Now how do I you know, apply this to my ibadat, my acts of worship, my spiritual activities that I was involved in during the month of Ramadan? In order to acquire this, in order to reach the level of muhsinin, there's a simple yet effective method that we should all try and develop in our lives. And it's called muhasabah. Muhasabah. Muhasabah literally means to take stock of something. Right? So the businessman at the end of the day, or at the end of the month, or whenever he is taking stock and assessing his business and the purchases and sales, that is called muhasabah. An accountant is called a muhasib. A muhasib. Can you see the same root letters? Muhasib, muhasabah. Because that's what it does. What is muhasabah? And how do I exercise muhasabah? Muhasabah, exercise it on a daily basis. Brothers, try this. What are we discussing? I want to achieve and attain excellence in all my ibadat, my acts of worship, and my interactions and relationships with others. Simple and effective way to do it is start with muhasabah on a daily basis. Take out 5 minutes at the end of the day. 5 minutes. Not too much to ask for. And in that 5 minutes, start with one aspect of Sharia, the most important of them all, Salah. And take stock of your Salah for that day. Listen, brothers, without Salah, we are nothing. It might sound harsh, it might sound stern, but that's the reality. Let's say it as it is. If there's no Salah in your life, there's nothing in your life. Salah is what links you to Allah. Salah is that the proof or that evidence to show that this, I'm a slave of Allah. It's non-negotiable when it comes to Salah. So you start with Salah, you take Salah. And you ask yourself, let me start with Fajr. 5 minutes, brothers, do this. Start with Salah. What was the condition of my Fajr Salah? Did I get up for Fajr? If the answer was no, what caused me not to wake up for Fajr? Perhaps I slept too late. I overslept. What was it? What held me back from Fajr Salah? Make muhasabah. Make a mental note of it. This was the impediment. That is what kept me away from Fajr Salah. If I did perform Fajr Salah, I did not make it to the masjid with Jama'ah. What was the impediment? What held me back? If I made it with Jama'ah, but I didn't make it for Takbirat or Tahreemah, I was not in the masjid when the Imam said, Allahu Akbar, what held me back? Was I just lazing around? Was it a valid excuse? Could I have improved? Could I have done better? That's muhasabah. Start with your fajr. Do this, my brother. Allah Akbar, you see great, great change will come about in your salah. Next day, fajr now, you know, hey, wait, hold on. I've identified the thing that kept me away from salah, or that caused me to come late to the masjid. Then, alhamdulillah, you made it in the masjid. You were there when the Imam made the Takbiratul Ihram. You were there for the Takbirah. What was the state of my Salah? Was I focused? Was I not focused? Do this. Spend 1 minute on each Salah. Move on to Dhuhr. Today, what was my condition at the time of Dhuhr? This is muhasabah. Did I make Dhuhr at the office? Did I make Dhuhr with Jama'ah? Did I make Dhuhr at all? If I made Dhuhr, was I there for the Takbiratul Ihram, for the first Takbirah? Ask these questions. Make muhasabah. Move on to Asr. Move on to Maghrib. Move on to Isha Salah. Like this. Do this. And you'll see Ihsan will come in Salah. The aspect of Ihsan. Just focus on Salah for a period of 6 weeks to 2 months. Wallahi, I guarantee you, you will see a difference in that most important aspect of Sharia in Salah in your life. Then you move on to something else in your life. My tilawa of the Quran. And move on to my interaction with others. Today I interacted with my boss. I interacted with my employee. I interacted with my wife. I interacted with my parents. I interacted with my in-laws. What was the quality of my interaction? I shouldn't have said this. Make muhasabah. If you can write it down also, our pious predecessors, they would write it down. Have a notebook. Muhasabah. Like the businessman, like the accountant. They would write it down, they would pen it down. They had different departments in their book. Ibadat. And interactions with others. Statements that they made. The statement that I made to so-and-so today was not a suitable thing to do. Do this muhasabah from one Ramadan to the next Ramadan. Guaranteed, you will become a better Muslim, a better human being. You will become a beloved of Allah Azza wa Jal. 5 minutes a day, that's all you need to do on a daily basis. If you can't do it at the end of the day, any other time, maybe the first part of the day, make muhasabah of the previous day. But do this, really, honestly, simply, very effective. It costs you nothing. Brothers, the objective of Ramadan, we have gone through Ramadan and we have gone through many, many Ramadans in our lives. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allow us to see many more. Now, remember one thing. Alhamdulillah, with regards to istiqamah, right? We come back to the aspect of istiqamah. So what was istiqamah? Istiqamah was consistency. Right? We discussed istiqamah. Istiqamah is consistency. The consistency must be found in what? In my mujahada. What's the mujahada? Right? The pressure that I put on my inner demands. I did it in Ramadan, right? So I need to exact consistency in that mujahada. Allow it to continue after Ramadan. And we spoke of ihsan, right? Attaining excellence in my relationship with Allah. One effective way of doing that is starting with muhasabah. Coming back to the aspect of istiqamah. Istiqamah, consistency in Islam, when we say you should have istiqamah and you should be steadfast, under all circumstances and conditions, regardless of the circumstance. What is istiqamah? Istiqamah is when you stand at Baytullah, and when you are standing at Baytullah, the same level of consciousness you display over there, the same level of consciousness you are going to display it when you stand before a strange female. That's istiqamah. Regardless of the situation and the circumstances, whether it is the long winter nights or the short summer nights, that's not going to affect my attendance in the masjid for the Fajr prayer. Regardless of the circumstances and the conditions, and brothers, the greatest challenge for us in our societies today is the demand of society. Notice one thing. In Ramadan, you don't care about society and what society got to say, sir. Sometimes you find, mashallah, a person will grow a beard also in Ramadan, alhamdulillah. And he doesn't care what society says or thinks about the beard. So in Ramadan, you don't give two hoots of what society thinks and what society has to say. But after Ramadan, in fact, on the day of Eid, the greatest challenge we have is the demand of society. There's something I don't want. I don't want this in my nikah. I don't want it in my walima. I don't want it in my life. The demand of society. Society demands what we eat, where we eat. Society demands what we drive. Society demands what we wear, how we look, even if I hate it. It's just to please society. That's another challenge that we have. Put Allah before anything else. Before society. If society makes a demand on you, and you know by going against the demand of society, you will make Allah happy, do what makes Allah Azza wa Jal happy. I'll conclude on this. The month of Ramadan, right, is an opportunity. We know, alhamdulillah, We are on a spiritual high at the moment. Okay, inshallah, all of us. Right? There's my dua is of a different quality. My salah is of a different quality. My tilawah of the Quran is of a different quality. Now, the objective of Ramadan is not to maintain this very high level of spirituality after Ramadan. That's not the objective. It's not possible as well. Everyone, after the month of Ramadan, they flutter down. Everyone flutters down. Remember that. You are going to flutter. It's going to happen. You are going to come down from the high level of spirituality that you enjoy in the month of Ramadan. And the objective is not to maintain that after Ramadan. That's not the objective. But what is the objective of Ramadan? You don't drop and flutter down right to where you started. Then you failed. Let me give you a simple example. Let's say, before Ramadan, I had no tilawah in my daily schedule. There was no recitation of the Quran in my daily schedule. None of it. In Ramadan, mashallah, I've been reading 10 pages of the Quran every day. Every day, I've been reading 10 pages of the Quran. Now Ramadan comes to an end, you are going to flutter down. It's natural. You are going to come down from that high level of spirituality. You started off at zero. Now when you drop, your tilawah drops, your recitation of the Quran drops, don't allow it to drop all the way back down to zero. If you drop at 5, alhamdulillah, maintain that 5 till the next Ramadan. Next Ramadan, you start on 5. You're not starting at zero. So next Ramadan, you'll increase the tilawah to 15 pages a day. At the end of next Ramadan, when the third time Ramadan comes around, you're sitting on 10. That's the objective of Ramadan. You don't flutter all the way down right to the bottom, status quo, as you had started. Don't drop down to zero. Don't allow that to happen. When it comes to your charity, mashallah, you have given a lot of charity in the month of Ramadan. Maybe you started off on zero. You've developed that attribute in the month of Ramadan. You are going to flutter. It will come down after the month of Ramadan. Don't go all the way down to where you had started. Maintain it. Maintain a certain level of it right up to the next Ramadan, and you'll find Ramadan after Ramadan, Ramadan after Ramadan. This is the objective, and this is the understanding you have of the month of Ramadan. Few years of Ramadan go by, and you will find a completely transformed and changed person. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to allow us to maximize. Tomorrow's one, you know, is the greatest night of the year. If it is indeed Laylatul Qadr, not because it's the UEFA Champions League's final. It's also happening tomorrow night, I believe. Somebody said it to me. And don't even worry what the score is. Check the score out Sunday if you have to check the score out. Okay? Just, you know, the Cricket World Cup's on at the moment as well. All of that, you know, it can wait for after Ramadan. You know, honestly, tomorrow night's match, if you're going to watch it, it's not going to make a difference to the outcome of the match. Really not going to make a difference. Your team's not going to win because of that. You're going to lose, even if they won. You're going to lose. You're going to lose big time. Right? The moments that are going to be spent in that futile activity, it's really moments that you will never, ever get back into your life, irrespective of how much millions and billions of dollars you are prepared to pay for it. So let us, whatever remains is 3 or 4 nights, about 4 days left of this month of Ramadan. Al-amr bil khawatim. The ulama say that Allah considers an act according to how it ended. Allah doesn't look at your Ramadan, how you started it. He looks at your Ramadan, how you ended it. Okay, so let's make the most. Let's push ourselves to the limit. Sunday's a holiday as well. Let us try and stay in the environment of the masjid. Now, grant us the understanding.